Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and in this episode, I'm going to be reviewing the first half of Barbenheimer. That's right, the new Barbie movie directed by Greta Gerwig, based on the classic Mattel toy, starring Margot Robbie as Barbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken. I have a lot of thoughts that I want to give on this one, and I'll give them all right after this. So I want to start off and talk a little bit about the director and the writer. So like I said, the director is Greta Gerwig. She's been nominated 3 times for an Oscar for writing and directing. Her films deal a lot with female relationships, especially between mothers and daughters. You know, as you can see in Lady Bird, a previous film that she had made that she had been nominated for. And it is written by Noah Baumbach, who wrote Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, which is about the ending of a marriage between the two main actors, and about the intricacies and the typical gender roles and that male-female relationships and stuff like that. So to have Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig both on this film is an interesting combo and a very gutsy way to go about doing a movie about dolls that come to life. So that really intrigued me from the start before I even saw the film, the fact that they got these Oscar nominated people to be at the forefront and to kind of develop the story and these characters was really interesting, I thought, and really showed me that Warner Brothers and Mattel weren't just going for like a quick cash grab, which kind of it has become. I mean, it's been a juggernaut at the box office. It's like already like top 15, like highest grossing movies ever or something like that. It's completely ridiculous for a Barbie movie. I mean, who thought, you know, who saw that coming? But I would say that for this film, for Barbie, both the directing and the writing are strengths. Like I said, it could have easily slipped into like parody or fan service or just kind of like silly, easy jokes. That it could have been really easy to make a film like that. But Barbie is not that. It's much deeper. It has much more meaning. It has, surprisingly, just as many Stanley Kubrick references as Oppenheimer, which I thought was kind of crazy. You know, but you can't say, you cannot like this film. I will say that it's not for everyone, and I don't think it's supposed to be for everyone. But I think that Gerwig and Baumbach, they just really went for it. And whether you like this film or not, you can't say that it's not ruthlessly ambitious as far as its storytelling and, you know, just the construction of the characters. And the two main characters, Margot Robbie plays stereotypical Barbie. I mean, she's the perfect actress to play a stereotypical Barbie. She plays this naivete perfectly of how she thinks that the real world matches Barbie land, and that everything, since everything is perfect and, you know, runs smoothly in Barbie land, she thinks that that's how the real world works. And is, like I said, it's strangely similar to Dave's arc in 2001, Barbie's arc. You know, I might be reaching a little bit, but it does share more similarities than just the opening sequence. The opening sequence is the Dawn of Man sequence from 2001 with the apes. I feel pretty confident in that not being a spoiler, first of all, because it's literally the opening scene of the film and has nothing really else to do with the plot. And because I'm pretty sure it was released in a trailer, that it was one of the trailers that, so it's just so weird that this film has so many similarities to 2001: A Space Odyssey. I might be reaching because that's my favorite film of all time, so whenever there's even the slightest reference to that movie in any other film, that Leonardo DiCaprio meme, like pointing at the TV, but this film, especially for Barbie, is really about discovering who you are and your place within and without society's rules and expectations, and just kind of creating your own self and just kind of your sense of self-identity and independence outside of any historical or social expectations or social norms for yourself. And it's really about evolving into being who you are and who you're meant to be, which is kind of what Dave has to go through at the end of, when he goes through the wormhole in 2001: A Space Odyssey. He evolves into the space baby. And that whole film is about evolution, about going from the apes to modern humans that are on spaceships, and then to the whatever the space baby is. And I don't think it was an accident that they referenced 2001 at the beginning of Barbie, because that's the journey that both Barbie and Ken really have to go on, is that they have been in this Barbie land, and they realize that the real world doesn't match Barbie land, and there are certain aspects of both that they like, and they have to evolve as people and evolve as their characters to kind of become who they want to be and kind of become a mixture of the both places. And kind of going along with that, with Ryan Gosling, and when he plays Ken, like they Ken and Barbie, this movie is essentially a two-hander. Ken is just as much a lead character as Barbie is, but I mean, it's a Barbie toy. I mean, they say it in the movie. It's never just Ken. It's Barbie and Ken. So you're not going to sell a Ken movie. You sell the Barbie movie, and you have Ken in it. So it's the like I said, this movie is just as much about the Kens as it is about the Barbies. So Ken dolls, like I said, have always been an accessory to Barbie. So that's how the character is played, and that's how the character is written. And how people play with Kens and Barbies in the real world affect how the Kens and Barbies act in Barbie land. So if you think about like how a 10-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl plays with a Barbie or plays with a Ken, that's how the Barbies and Kens are gonna act. And I think, there's been a lot of like backlash for this film, that it's kind of man-hating, that it's like Barbie fights the patriarchy, and they literally say in the end of the film, like, Barbie, patriarchy, like these are ideas that don't really mean anything. They're just words that are made up to help us explain our place in the world. They literally say those are exact words. Patriarchy, Barbie, those are made up. They're not real. They're just ideas. So I feel like the backlash is kind of unwarranted. So the Barbies and the Kens are going to act how they've always act, how they were designed to act. And Ken has always been an accessory to Barbie. So, and the fact that at the end of the film, Ken kind of comes into his own and realizes that he can be important without Barbie, that he doesn't need Barbie's approval to be who he wants to be, and to feel that kind of sense of self-worth. He doesn't need that validated by Barbie. He can just be Ken. He can just be himself and find validation within himself. I think that's kind of empowering for men. And for anyone, not just men or not just women, anyone who feels like they're being pressured by society or pressured by outside influences to fit into a role that they don't necessarily want to fit into. I think it's important for people to know that you can be okay with whoever you are. You can be okay with whatever you want to do, as long as you're being nice to people around you and you're not hurting anyone, and as long as you're helping out people when you can, and you're just overall being a good member of a contributing member of society. It doesn't really matter what you do or who you are. And that validation and that kind of self-love has to come from within yourself. It can't come from outside sources for you to have a lasting happiness and a lasting sense of purpose. And that's really what this movie is about, which is very, very surprising because it's about a movie about dolls that come to life. So, I don't know. I just feel like this film really had some it really brought up surprisingly some very deep emotions within myself, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because that's what movies do. Movies, when a movie is working on me, I am completely in it. I'm physically in it. I'm emotionally in it. I'm visually in it. And whenever a movie does that for me, then I'm never going to shy away from telling you that that's what happens. Because Roger Ebert said that films are the most powerful art form because they elicit the most empathy. They're the ones that force us to be in the place of the main character. And he said through that we can see the world through the eyes of another race, another gender, another religion, another culture, and that forces us to have empathy with the people and the subjects that the movie is exploring. I'm not the target audience for Barbie. I'm not a woman. I'm not a little girl that grew up playing with Barbies and is now an adult and, wants to see Barbie for nostalgic reasons. I wanted to see Barbie because I heard it was a good movie. And good movies are for everyone. It doesn't matter who their target audience is. I just think that, it's a shame that sometimes movies can get a bad rap because, it's like, oh, that's a chick flick, or that's a movie for girls, or that movie's not for me. Good movies are for everyone, and I definitely think Barbie is a good movie that anyone can enjoy. If they leave their expectations at the door, if they leave their biases or their or just the, if they just leave their expectations at the door that this is a movie about dolls for girls, and they just go into it with an open mind and a fresh perspective of like, this is a good movie and let me see what it can do for me. I definitely think that this film is good enough to get a lot of Oscar nominations, a lot of Oscar attention. I think it's a lock to get a nomination for production design, hair and makeup, costumes, and probably Margot Robbie for best lead actress, because I think it's impossible or it would be silly for the Academy to ignore the lead actress in the film that's probably going to end up making the most money this year. As of this point, I don't think Barbie has passed Super Mario Brothers as the highest grossing film of 2023, but if it hasn't yet, I'm sure it's going to pass very soon. And I think, just like I think Super Mario is going to get nominated for Best Animated Picture, I think Barbie has a chance to get nominated for Best Picture overall. I mean, with the new rules, the ranked choice voting, the fact that they have to have 10 every year, I don't know if there's going to be 10 other movies that are better than Barbie this year. So far, there hasn't. I think it's definitely in the top 10 best movies so far. I mean, we're only in August, halfway through August, so there's a lot of movies left to come out, but I can't conceive of there if there are 10 better movies than Barbie this year, then 2023 will have been one of the best years in movie history. Let me just put it that way. So I think it definitely is a lock for production design, hair and makeup, costumes, Margot Robbie for best actress, most likely best picture. I also think it's a lock to get nominated for the Billie Eilish song at the end, What Was I Made For? She won, Billie Eilish won for No Time to Die in the last James Bond movie. So for whatever reason, the Academy Awards tend to nominate people that they have nominated before. They like who they like, and Billie Eilish, technically, as an Oscar winner, is now a member of the Academy. But she has been nominated before, so the likelihood of her getting nominated again is very high. And also because it's an excellent song. There's an outside chance for I'm Just Ken, but I think that's kind of a silly nomination. What Super Mario Brothers, if they were to push the Jack Black song Peaches, I'm Just Ken is kind of in that same vein. But I wouldn't be mad if either one of those got nominated, Peaches or I'm Just Ken, or the Billie Eilish song. I think that one definitely has a chance to win and not just get nominated. I think it definitely has potential to get nominated for original screenplay, probably director for Greta Gerwig, and maybe even actor or supporting actor for Ryan Gosling for Ken. I think if you're going to push him to get nominated, I mean, he's the lead. He's the male lead of the film. So he should be nominated for best lead actor. But I think they might push him for supporting actor because his character technically is there to support Margot Robbie's Barbie, which is the purpose of a Ken doll, is to support Barbie. So anyway, that's kind of on a tangent, but I think he deserves to get into the lead actor category. I mean, if Anthony Hopkins can get nominated and win for best lead actor in Silence of the Lambs, and he is literally only in like 15 minutes of that movie, I think it's the actor with the shortest amount of screen time to win best lead actor. I mean, Ryan Gosling has to be. I mean, he's in this movie just as much as Barbie. So I think if he's going to get nominated, then he should get nominated for lead actor. But I don't see it getting nominated for anything else. But still, that's a lot. Production design, hair and makeup, costumes, song, actor, actress, screenplay, picture, director. That's nine Oscars. That's a lot. I don't think it's probably not going to get nine. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know. There's not that many good, or not that many movies as good as Barbie that have come out this year. But overall, Barbie is surprisingly deep and is more than just the cliche jokes. And like I said, it surprisingly has a lot of Stanley Kubrick references, especially to 2001, and just as many as Oppenheimer. If you would have asked me a year ago, which film would have more Stanley Kubrick references, Barbie or Oppenheimer, I would have laughed in your face, and then not even dignified that question with an answer. But because obviously I would have said Oppenheimer, but I'd have to say that they're pretty even, surprisingly. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes. Check me out on Twitter at SMG Reviews and on my blog, 1001filmblog.com. Thanks again for listening, and watch out for the second half of Barbenheimer, Oppenheimer in the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.